premarital sex, that is a pretty common practice these days, even within the church. But what does God have to say about it all? Hi there, and welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we turn our attention to Exodus chapter 22. We'll be looking again at verses 15 through 31 in a message Pastor Chris has simply entitled, The Practice of Godliness. There are consequences for our actions, and contrary to popular belief, this kind of sin hurts nobody but nobody. We'll find out today as we begin our time together with Pastor Chris that it does hurt somebody, and there are consequences to this sin, which is why God deals with it here in Exodus 22. Here's Pastor Chris now with today's program.
If you lived in the theocracy and you lived in Israel, and you were out doing this, the consequence was this. The man had to take it upon himself to marry the woman. Did you catch that? If you did this, the Lord said there's a big responsibility. You need to get married. And what the Lord was doing here was calling sin, sin. He was leveling consequences upon the premarital sex that was going on. The woman was never to be abused in this. Remember, the culture was different. Today, women throw themselves just as much as the men, and the problem's just as much in the reverse. But this was nothing casual, and the Lord was actually concerned here about the reputation of the woman. You did this, you need to marry. But here was the caveat. Now get this, the man had to then go to the father, and he had to make known what had happened, and request the hand of the daughter in marriage. The reason having been made known. This is what it's saying here. Compensation then had to be made to the family, most likely through to her, because her reputation was now tarnished. The Lord was putting a halt on young men who prey on women and your daughters. This is what he was doing. He was putting a halt on it. In other words, those who were out there in the community just preying on the women and wanting that without any responsibility. You couldn't just go out and do this in Israel. What I find fascinating here is this. Who did the Lord bring into the equation? The father. Anytime there was to be a marriage, they had to approach the father and ask for his blessing. The father, now listen to this. The father had the right to refuse it in this scenario. The father had the right to say, no way. And even then, if the father said no, they still had to pay, the man still had to pay the bride price. See how the Lord was teaching responsibility here? Think of it this way. If a man wanted to marry a gal, he was forced to be very careful in the period preceding marriage. In that betrothed period, he had to be very careful of putting himself into situations alone with her that would lead to this, because if it happened, the father might shut it down and he'd never get her. And he would still have to pay. Can you imagine if that kind of restraint were enacted today? All the abortions, all the clinics, all the broken homes, all the fatherless children, think of how much would be avoided. And you see where the slew of our sexual revolution all began, the opening of this door. I mean, when I was in the secular college, listen, you walk in the bathrooms and they offer free contraceptives. Maybe our anger tonight at the homosexual agenda should first be met with an anger of our tolerance for allowing this to be practiced. And we have been silent. It all started here. It all started here. I apply it today then. Men should respect another man's daughter. Right? Men, you should be thinking, if you're dating another man's daughter, that is a man who raised her, who gave a lot of time to train her, who loved her, and you're coming in and you're overtaking. If you're dishonoring her, you're also dishonoring him. if there is a man who comes to one of my daughters and is ungodly and wants to date her or be with her, what do you think my responsibility is as a father? I'm not spending 18 years to train my daughter to say, go ahead, man. This is my duty. I'm working hard with my daughters. I'm not a great parent, but I'm trying. But I know one thing. If these guys come around, I know it's my duty. And I think it's really important to say tonight. Fathers have a big role in who their daughters and their sons are seeing. You are to protect them. And if this is going on and you're not stopping it, it's a great offense to the Lord. You should ask them. You should protect your little sheep. Why? Because this is a whole section here on the Lord loving your daughters. He's being a father to them. Isn't this beautiful? He wants to care for them. Sex is designed to be a blessing for marriage relationship, and that's what God intended in Israel. You see it here. So the first concern for the practice of godliness in Israel were a series of laws here, as I titled them, we're dealing with social justice and laws like this, that were designed to keep people sexually pure and protect the marriage institution. And I want to say, look, there's forgiveness for actions. If you're doing that and you're involved in that, there's forgiveness. Stop. Go to him. But there are consequences earthly-wise. The Bible's taught us that. But how good is the Lord to say, I really want to protect this institution? See it protected? See what he's doing right out of the gates to protect the marriage institution? Well, that's first. That's first. Second, I see three laws here that are designed to make Israel flee those things that God hates. And he's really training them and teaching them as to how far gone a society can go in particular sins and how destructive they are to the nation of God's people. And so you have three quick ones given here in 18, 19, and 20. Notice them. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Whoever lies with an animal shall be put to death. Whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be devoted to destruction. I find it tragic that the Lord would even have to say these things, don't you? You begin with witchcraft and sorcery, which are acts of communicating with the dead and telling people's fortunes and reading signs, which all throughout history was a direct communication with the realm of the dead to find out revelation, to find out some answer, to find out some truth. And direct communication, as often was done, even with the demonic realm. This is how the scriptures often portray it. You remember Saul went into the witch at Endor and tried to do this with disastrous results. He then goes on to bestiality, and the nations around them were common in doing this. Their gods were claimed to have done this. And then he mentions in close connection with that, sacrificing to any other god. This is why when you read the Old Testament, notice how bad it got in Israel. Remember that the Lord could say that they were sacrificing their sons and daughters to other gods? Think about that. Moreover, you took your sons and your daughters, whom you bore to me, and these you sacrificed to them. Were your acts of harlotry a small matter that you've slain my children and offered them up by causing them to pass through the fire? I mean, it's just awful that God's people, at one point, were sacrificing their children to other gods. And I stood back from this and I thought, well, do you see how wicked things can get in a society? We don't think about this. I would imagine it tonight brings some measure of uncomfortability. But do you realize all these things are common in our society? I'm not speaking of things that are foreign to us. Magic, the Wiccan movement is just exploding right now. Communicating with the dead is huge. All this stuff is taken off. Bestiality, you know, when some of you remember that in society that was adultery, that was the line, and notice how the line just keeps getting pushed farther and farther back, and now we've legalized homosexuality. You don't think we're on the path to this? This is next. Just look at what we do with animal rights today. You've blurred distinctions. You've taken out creation norms. You've now said marriage is for a man and a man and a woman for a woman. Why would you not, if you're now worshiping the creature rather than the creator, why would, when a gorilla gets shot and we are in uproar in our society, would we not think then that it's wrong for this to occur? You've seen all this kind of stuff, and it's gone on in a society in which we live. And I have to say that in the holy community, do you see why discipline was so important, even for the church, that we don't stone sorcerers. We don't do those kind of things, but we discipline to stop the path from going out of control. That's why discipline is so important in the life of the church. That's why discipline matters in our lives. We need it. And so after these hard things, I have four things that are noted here that I believe will encourage you tonight that you could practice that really demonstrate and display the righteous character of God. What are they? First, notice what he says here, and I have titled it, Care for the Weak, in verse 21. He says, you shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. Think about the first there. A stranger in the land of Egypt. You were that, so now strangers are among you. The Lord brings in all sorts of strangers among us. And I believe the gospel shines here so beautifully that the Lord always wanted the strangers among us loved, those who were outsiders, those who were different, those who were distinguished as being different from us and apart from us. If the Lord brings them in, I want them loved, said the Lord. And that was the whole story that the Lord had done for them in Egypt. They were the strangers in the land of Egypt. And the Lord came down and befriended them and loved them and cared for them and brought them into his house. Pure and undefiled religion is this. You remember James would talk about showing partiality. And that's why when we have different people come in, we don't just honor the rich, do we? We honor the poor. We love the poor. We love the strangers. That was what he wanted them to do with the strangers. And notice then verse 22, and the widows and the fatherless. If you afflict them in my community, think of how important this was. They had no social justice programs. They had no government help. If you afflict them and they cry to me, I will hear that cry. Well, isn't that just an encouragement to continue to pray? All your cries of injustice in this world, the Lord hears. He's listening. And my wrath will become hot. And I'll kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless. Notice that. I love the widows and the fatherless that much. Do we have widows and fatherless in the Escondido URC? Of course we do. We've got a bunch of them. I love them, says the Lord. Care for them. Love them. Widows and orphans get all sorts of special treatment in the Bible. I love reading the Psalms that constantly do this. Psalm 146, he watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. He's looking upon, in our congregation, little widows constantly. Isn't that beautiful? He's looking upon children who don't have fathers constantly. The Lord cares that much. The Lord loves that much. This is the motivation that James gave, that pure and undefiled religion is to visit widows and orphans in their distresses, because they constantly face them. Final category here he gives is the poor, and these are all the needy among us. If you lend money, don't be a money lender to the poor. Don't treat them like don't make people have needs. Don't sign contracts with them. Don't treat them that way. Listen, if you're going to take something, you better give it back at night, because you know what I'm concerned about, says the Lord? I'm concerned that poor man may not have a coat on when he goes to bed. This is your God. This is remarkable, isn't it? I love the poor. I'm concerned about them. If you take a cloak as collateral, better be back that night. Boy, that's checking motivations, isn't it? If your brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things which are needy for the body, what does it profit? Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Well, that came right out of Exodus chapter 22. Second thing, that's the first. What does he say here? To practice for godliness, care for the weak among you, the poor, the fatherless, the widow, the strangers, the visitors who come in, love them, shepherd them, help them, care for them. Don't talk to your own group. Be involved. Have them to your homes. Invite them over. Show hospitality. Love them. That's how you're going to really show you're leading a life that is thankful to God. Second, honor authority. You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people. It means in your life, don't take God lightly. He's ruling you. Don't live your lives as if he doesn't exist. Recognize his authority in your life. Recognize his rule. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge his majesty, his sovereignty, his glory. Don't disregard him in the course of your lives. When you step up out of bed, you should acknowledge that he gave you another day of life, that he gave you breath, that he loved you, that he's helped you, that he's encouraged you. You should acknowledge these things from the Lord in prayer. It should be like breathing. Don't take them lightly. Don't be careless and active and cold and hardened to God. Don't blaspheme his name. And then in the next breath, he says, and I've put spiritual leaders in your lives. What's your attitude to them? Don't curse them. Don't speak against them. That offends me, says the Lord. I hear it. Don't do that. Coffee times have been some of the worst for this. Don't do that. So notice how he connects authority. This is a way you can really honor me in your life. Recognize me and pray for and respect the authority structures, especially the spiritual authority in your life. One of you recently told me that the older generation, even when rulers were doing things that they disagreed with, they so feared God, they refused to speak evil against them. It should be practiced among us. You want to love God? You want to practice godliness? Recognize his authority and honor the authority structures he's put in your life. Third, give of your first fruits. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. Your firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Remember that principle from Exodus 12. Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days, and the eighth you shall give it to me. Put me first. Remember to give. This is a way that you say thank you to God. Put me first in the things that you spend and what you do. The Lord wanted his people to be able to express thanksgiving to them, and this is why he loaded them with benefits when they came out of Egypt, to be able to give back. And God doesn't need your gifts back to him. What he's doing with those gifts is using them to bless your neighbor. That's what he's doing. It's his intention. And then finally, I say tonight, be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. That's the emphasis in the fourth. He gives them one last distinctive. You shall be holy to me. Don't eat anything torn by beasts in the field, or you shall throw it to the dogs. Everything you do, I want your actions, what you eat. Everything you do, whether you eat or drink, it should be for the glory of the Lord. You're my holy people. Be distinct. Be distinct. Look at the goodness of the Lord tonight. You see those four tonight? Help and care for and love the weak. Isn't that a beautiful thing that's said here? Think of these four. Second, honor authority structures. Third, give of your first fruits. And fourth, be holy for he's holy. I said tonight, obviously the law was given to show us sin. But if we have been forgiven, that should be no excuse not to practice godliness in our life. If you know the grace of Christ, this should be your pursuit. If you've been brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and been delivered from slavery and bondage, this is what he is calling you to be as Christians. One of you came up to me this morning and said, Pastor, I was really moved by the sermon because what you essentially said is, we're not just Christians on Sunday. We are Christians by virtue of who we are in everything we now do, in every minute that we live. This is now our identity. Amen. And that being the case, here's ways that you can show that identity in the world. Right? Help the weak. Honor authority. The Lord's authority. Him. Don't speak against it. Give of your best to Him. And be separate. I think it's a beautiful way to practice godliness, and I hope it helps you tonight. What a wonderful God. He cares about your children, cares about your daughters, cares to keep you off of paths that are utterly destructive. Look at where society can go. And He desires to give you a path forward toward godliness. All of Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for life and godliness. And may we pursue that this week to His glory. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank You for instructing us tonight, sometimes with things that are challenging. And You know what's best for us. We don't know as parents. We think we do. We don't know. You know. And I pray that we would take seriously Your will for our life, that we would love our children as You want us to, shepherd them, that, Lord, they would be cautious in the way that they live, being trained in holiness and in righteousness, that we would stay off paths that can lead to such perversion. We've seen it here. That we would practice godliness in our lives, being holy, for You are holy. We can't do it apart from we can't do this in and of ourselves. It is a work, sanctification of free grace. And we look to You for help. That by Your Spirit, we would put to death the deeds of the body and live, and bring great glory in the way that we live this week. Thank You, Lord, for instructing us in righteousness and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Well, as promised, once again, here's Pastor Chris to give us a sneak peek at tomorrow's program, a message called Sabbaths and Shadows, all of the feasts that were required in the Old Testament and how they've been replaced.
The 7 days of the festival involved an astonishing number of sacrifices. Each day, young bulls and two rams and 14 one-year-old male lambs were offered. With these were offered tribute offering, drink offering. Finally, a male goat was offered as a sin offering. This happened daily, but you add it all up. As the number of bulls varied, the total number of animal sacrifices on these 8 days was 192. How many feasts has the Lord given you today? One. It's right here. It's the celebration of the Lord's Supper.
That's tomorrow. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.